Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the message is the gospel which you just heard. Please be seated. As we come to this word, I would invite you to just take a moment with me and pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. May your word go forward and have its way among us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just came from Seek Hall, where President Hagen, Gene Wiesman of our district were holding forth. And it dovetails with my PSA this morning. I've got a PSA for you this morning, public service announcement. According to the little sheet that Gene just gave us a few minutes ago, it says worker wellness, 26% of workers in the church have experienced serious marital difficulties while in ministry. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And if you are willing to believe that he or she means it when they say, oh, Valentine's Day is no big deal, I've got some land just east of Sheboygan, Wisconsin for you, okay? 42 years married, I always remember Valentine's Day. Not a big deal, but always remember. I'm David Meggers. I'm associate pastor at Concordia Kirkwood here. A little biographical information for you. I'm the son of a milkman. Oh, wait, that's been done here, right? That's been done. Although Dr. Meyer's dad was at the delivery end, my dad was at the production end in the barn with the milk cows. I've been a teacher, Young America, Minnesota, Green Bay, Wisconsin. 30 years ago was called from this place to Rockford, Illinois to start a church. Unexpectedly stayed 24 years. Was unexpectedly called, was not looking for a call, to Concordia just 5.5 years ago. Unexpectedly blessed when in 2007 our daughter decided to become a deaconess student here. I was unexpectedly blessed when she was able to have her wedding here. That's how she met her husband. That's a whole nother story. It's cute. So hit me up if you want a cute story about what happens when you walk into a support staff worker's office and she has an eligible son and your daughter's the deaconess. It's awesome. She came here, and Bill Wilson, where are you, buddy? Raise your hand. Bill, I may have lied to you. I may have lied to you, because I can't remember if you said, Dave, do you want to preach in chapel, or would you preach in chapel? Okay, then I did not lie, all right? Because I never wanted to preach in this place. And before it was this place, it was that place over there. People could be harsh with the guys who preached. And so I've already put out a plea for kindness this morning. But my daughter, have a daughter. They'll change things. Standing at this altar, Dad, will you preach in chapel? Chris, I said I never want to preach in chapel at Concordia Seminary, but for you, I'll do it. And now for Bill, for you, and brothers and sisters, it is an unexpected blessing, and I am blessed to do it. We read through this text yesterday morning at Bible study. I've got a 6:30 men's Bible study, loosely called a men's Bible breakfast. It is if it's a couple of donuts and a piece of fruit and some coffee. These are great guys. And what I like to do when you take a look at a text with these guys, and these guys have been meeting for about 35 years, it's kind of hard to challenge them with something new, and so I don't. What I ask them to do is, let's read through this. And so we read through Luke chapter 6. We read through Jesus pronouncing the blessedness. We read through Jesus pronouncing the woes. And then I ask the question that I often do when we do this kind of thing is, so what's getting your attention in this text this morning? And this is what the great lay theologian, painter, plumber, Stan Brown had to say. This ain't gonna be no picnic. And I said, Stan, that's profound. Why do you say that? And he said, because Jesus upsets the apple cart. Bam! I had prepped for that Bible study and found a quote by Philip Yancey in which Yancey says this: the Christian church was the first institution in history to bring together everyone on an equal footing. In other words, Stan Brown, Jesus upsets the apple cart. And as we come to this text, it's through the upsetting of the apple cart that Jesus has been doing all along the line. I have really enjoyed this year reading through Luke, following it on a pericopal basis in our worship, watching Jesus from the moment that he leaves his baptism, goes out into the wilderness to be tempted, how unexpectedly he keeps on blessing us as he's on this journey, how unexpectedly he is greeted in Nazareth when he picks up that Isaiah text, and he doesn't meet their expectations when he says who he is, when he pronounces blessings for the poor and so forth. And when expectations are not met, there is anger. In fact, there was so much anger that they were willing to take him out to that cliff and throw him off. But that would not deter him from encountering lepers, unexpected people to come in contact with. He unexpectedly rebukes demons. And I'm using unexpectedly in the sense that while you and I, looking back through Scripture, might be able to say, hey, I expect Jesus to do that kind of stuff, please put yourself in the place of Peter's mother, who unexpectedly hears Jesus not just say, woman, you are healed, but he rebukes the fever. He rebukes this evil in the same way that he rebukes the demons, and the fever leaves her. Jesus is on a journey to do the utmost in unexpected, to ascend that hill, to go to that cross, to rise from the dead again. But we're a long way away from that. And before we get there, there's movement in this text that Jesus, now having encountered evil, he's performed healing, he has taught. He's gone up a mountain. This one doesn't get a lot of notoriety. But there he's with his disciples, and from among those disciples, he calls out the 12 that are called apostles, and then there's a descent. There's a coming down to the plain. And you can almost feel Philip Yancey's quote, the playing field is leveled. As Jesus stands there in the midst of these whom he pronounces blessed, and upon those whom he pronounces those woes, the playing field is unexpectedly blessed. Those who are pronounced blessed are not expecting to hear him say this. Jesus upsets the apple cart. Those who hear him pronounce woes upon them are fully expecting him to pronounce them the ones who are blessed. Let me share this portion of the text with you. Jesus. And before I say that, understand, the folks that were angry at Jesus wanted to throw him off the cliff. He was not meeting their expectations. But know this, Jesus doesn't come to meet their expectations. He doesn't come to meet our expectations. He comes to meet the expectations of the Father to fulfill all righteousness. And here we find him as he stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all over. There were folks gathered there with diseases. There were folks gathered there with unclean spirits. And the text goes on to say, power came out from him, and he healed them all. Without thought to status, without an inventory of how well they had been keeping the commandments and the various ritual rules and so forth, he heals them all. What a law gospel word is all. All were healed. Meaning that no one is immune from the effects of a sin-infected world. All are blessed in Christ and in him alone. And there are those who are outside of Christ, those who have no contrition, those who have their idols, their wealth, their status. As my Tuesday morning guys call them, they're the rich businessmen and the rock stars of the day. Their God, in essence, is their self. All. Does it take you to this? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He upsets the apple cart. He levels the playing field, humbles the proud, exalts the lowly. Outside of Christ, there's only that woe and brokenness. But in Christ alone, we are blessed with a love that is without end. A few weeks ago, before what they lovingly call here in St. Louis, Missouri. Remember, I went to college in Minnesota. My wife's from Minnesota. I taught in Green Bay and all that. A few weeks ago, we had an event here that they called the Snowpocalypse or Snowmageddon. Are you familiar with that? A few weeks before that, in Morris, Minnesota, far west, kind of midway up where my wife grew up, they had an 11-inch snow event on Thursday. You know what they called it? Thursday. It's just Thursday. But the week before that, we had gone up to Rockford. Rockford is where we were called. We've got great friends there. One was in a horrific auto accident a year ago, spent over 100 days in the hospital. Thank the Lord, he is just doing so, so well. But we decided to drive up to Rockford to see them and another couple with whom we are just still so very, very close. They're like that family that God gives you when you move into another community. I pray that blessing for you, that you have those kinds of people in your life. In fact, one of them just texted me this morning. It's the kind of folks that they are. But we're on our way through Illinois. And by the way, if there's ever a state in which the interstate system is perfectly attuned to self-driving cars, it's Illinois. It's boring. 55 to Bloomington, 39 from Bloomington to Rockford. It's getting later in the day. We're hunting around on the radio station for something to listen to. It's about a 5-hour drive, unless my wife drives, then it's 4.5 hours. And so I always take a pillow and I just ignore and I sleep. But sometimes we're together on the road and we're talking, but sometimes we just want to listen to the radio. We don't have satellite radio. We're hunting around for a radio station. We come across a good old classic country station. Classic country. It was George Strait. And the song captured me. It was one of those good country story kinds of songs where he tells about himself as a little boy who skips school one day and he comes home and he's all afraid of how it is that his daddy's going to discipline him. And the refrain is this, that his daddy comes to him and he says, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Now, I'm thinking about this day in the future when I'm going to be here blessed to share God's word with you, and it got my attention. Verse 2, now this boy has grown up to be a man, and he has a son much like he was as a kid, and his son very, very stubborn. His dad's trying to figure out how to discipline him, so he shares what his daddy had shared with him. He says, son, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. And then the kicker verse, verse 3. The man has a dream now that he's standing before heaven's gates. And right away I'm thinking that's going to be one of these St. Peter things, you know. But it's not. He expresses surprise at being there because he realizes that there's an awful lot of stuff that he's done in his life that if he were to be measured, wouldn't quite fit his idea of who goes to heaven. But then on the other side of the wall, guess what he hears? You can say it with me. Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Amen? Yeah, amen. Now, it might be a little on the cheesy side. I get that. It might be a little bit too much on the implied gospel side, but all I got to do is add those words in Christ alone, and I'm right back at unexpected blessedness. In Christ alone. And it takes me back to the gospel that we just had, in which there's a great catch of fish, and reminds me of the love of a Savior who will not depart from a sinful man, even though that's what the sinful Peter asks him to do. And it puts us right in the midst of the plain here where Jesus is standing between or among, I should say, all these folks, and blessedness and woe is pronounced, gospel and law. But in a sense, even in that law that is pronounced, there's something about it in that its purpose is to drive those folks away from the idolatrous mindset and spirituality that is theirs and to the one who blesses the poor and frees the captives and loves us, to drive us to Christ alone. When I come into this place, it's a place of heavy emotion for me. Walking the daughter down that aisle, she's 6'2", so the posture's kind of like this as I'm walking her down. She's probably our synod's tallest deaconess, okay? And the thing I love about coming in here is you walk by that font, and you are reminded again of how it was that though only one had to ascend that cross, not that whole crowd on the plane, not you and me, but only one has to ascend the cross and take on the penalty for sin, and only one rises from the dead so that you and I are given that unexpected blessing. Again, not unexpected as you and I look back, but would you have written the script that way? One guy goes to the cross, substitutes himself for me, one rises from the dead, I get the victory. And how about this for unexpected, that through water and his word, then we are connected to that life and death and resurrection in such a way that we don't have to suffer what he suffered. And this morning we're going to come up here to this place. And I probably would have written the script a lot differently. But Jesus wants to presence himself with you and me this morning. And so he places himself in bread and wine, that he might be with you, in your mouth, on your lips. And then he does this unexpected thing as well. He calls sinful men and women to be those who bless in the way that he would have the world blessed, in Christ alone. And not only will you and my brother and pastors and sister deaconesses who are already out there in the field, not only will you folks who are our students here go and bless, and not only do we go and bless, but we are blessed. I was con-Marie-ing my office last week. Any of you familiar with that term? Oh, good, I get to teach, okay? There's this new thing out there called tidying up. And then the lady's name is Marie Kondo, is that right? But it's called con-Marie-ing. Some people call it clutter shaming, all right? Because you're supposed to get rid of all the garbage, anything that doesn't really actually bring you joy. And so I was doing that. And I came across a two-sided sheet of paper. I think it must have had about 76 names on it, front and back. And I was unexpectedly blessed in what I saw on this sheet of paper. Because in October of 2007, I found out as I was looking forward to having a hip replaced, I'm in bad shape, okay, that I had to have open heart surgery. And that congregation put together a prayer vigil. I had forgotten all about this until I'm cleaning up all this stuff. And I'm looking down that list of names. And I flipped the page over, and I'm looking down that list of names. About every 20 minutes, some people at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 1 a.m. are praying, blessing yours truly. And I will admit, some of my memories of some of those names are probably not as loving, kind, and gracious as they could be. And so I was blessed in that way as well. I'm wondering this morning how you are praying. I'm wondering, fourth years, I'm going to guess, you're thinking about a call, maybe, you know, kind of praying about where you're going to be living next year. Men, if you aren't, your wives are. Those of you who are second year deaconess students as well, getting ready to go on internship, getting ready to go on vicarage, hoping maybe for a coast, We got a coast. It's called the coast of Lake Michigan in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Not quite what we had in mind, but we were blessed in that. First years, maybe your prayer is, Lord, just help me to get through this so I can be sitting where these second year and fourth year people are in a year or so. I don't know who you will bless. I don't know who has blessed you in such a way that you can go back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for those folks. But here's what I do know, is that Stan was right. Jesus upset the apple cart. Phil Yancey was right, or is right. The playing field gets leveled in Christ alone. And in him, you are blessed. Today, tomorrow, in the midst of woes, in the midst of good times and bad, because that's where blessedness is found, in Christ alone. May that peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. May you be blessed. May you be a blessing. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.